Catalonia is one of the centers of great Spanish wines. In fact, one of the most prestigious regions from all of Spain is Priorato or Priorat, which I've talked about in a previous Let's Open a Bottle episode. And then, of course, you have Cava, the Spanish version of champagne, which is not strictly Catalan, in the sense that it's a region, quote unquote, that is determined by a method and not a specific territory, though the vast majority is made in Catalonia, and by far the most famous brands come from there, and the most successful ones for many, it is synonymous with Catalan wine. And going from there are a dozen other regions that specialize in different wines, and we'll get to them little by little. In fact, today we are going to take a look at three regions from Catalonia's southernmost province called Tarragona or Tarragona, Mediterranean in parts, hilly and dry in others. This sparsely populated area has a tradition in winemaking that goes back a very long way. Now, let's start with a growing star in the area known as Montsant. Montsant. Montsant lies west of Tarragona, the city, and almost entirely wraps itself around the Priorat region and basically forms a ring around it. Its name is derived from Montsant Massif, which is the holy mountain. That's what it means literally, and that dominates the region's landscape. Vines were probably first introduced to the area by the Romans thousands of years ago, and then later by the Carthusian monks who continued the tradition throughout the Middle Ages. By the 19th century, wines from Montsant were receiving praise at universal exhibitions. They went sort of out of style during the 20th century, but of late their fame has returned. The land of Montsant is highly varied. Basically, the most important and most prized vineyards are located in these terraces. That's sort of the form of these vineyards. They're not very big ones, and it's very similar to the terraces of Priorato. They are on steeply sloped hills, often accompanied by palm trees, almond trees, and olive trees. The altitudes can go anywhere from 50 to 700 meters above sea level. But in general, I would say they're 300 to 350 meters above sea level and higher. These vines benefit from the intense Mediterranean sunshine during the day and the relatively cool temperatures at night. And that ends up meaning fairly complex aromas in the grapes while preserving that all-important acidity. The soil in that area is locally known as liquarella, which is high in granite and slate. This is the soil content that gives it that mineral characteristic, which is often so famously associated with the Priorato wines. Montsant has earned a reputation for its high-quality red wines, particularly those made with old vine Garnacha and Carignana, and also some Tempranillo. In that area, it's known as Ulle de Liebre, which means hare's eye. By hare, I mean rabbit. And they also use some international varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Syrah, which do quite well there too. The red wines are typically intended for aging, and they exhibit velvety textures, mineral flavors. It has that sort of that touches of Priorat, earthy features, but are lighter in general. Some people find the Prioratos a little bit overbearing at times, though I like them a lot. Anyway, Montsant also makes a small amount of white wine, often from Macabeo and Garnacha Blanca, maybe a bit of Chardonnay there too. And they also make rosé wines. And also they have their traditional Vino Rancio, old wine, which is sort of an oxidative, fortified wine, to give you an idea. And it's not the same here, but the general idea, by fortified wine, you might think of something like sherry. But this type of wine, the oxidative style, has been traditional wine throughout Spain in many, many different regions for centuries. And a lot of it has disappeared because wine tastes have changed, but you can usually find something in these areas. Praise for Montsant's high quality wines is getting louder as the international market realizes the region's potential. I'm a particular fan of theirs because they have a lot of personality, but for the most part, sell for more reasonable prices than their neighbor Priorato. One I particularly find to be a good value is Vines La Universal Dido or Dido, which is a particularly good one. You might want to check that one out. Now, we didn't mention this before, but Montsant actually belonged to a larger wine region called Dio Tarragona before it broke away in 2001. Dio Tarragona received its status all the way back in 1947, making it one of the oldest regions in Spain. The exact origins of the winemaking there is not known. It is possible that the ancient Greeks brought wines to Tarragona because they colonized many parts of what is now present-day Catalonia. But it is certain that the Romans who followed them produced and promoted wines from the region. And that makes sense because this is one of the oldest urban centers of the Iberian Peninsula, with Tarragona playing an important role for the Romans during their 600-year occupation of Spain. Regardless of whoever first made wine there, we know it's an old tradition. And also, just like in Montsant, one of the traditional wines here was this fortified Vino Rancio that I was telling you about. So you can still find some of that. The land in Tarragona for Dio Tarragona is a little bit more uniform. It sort of gently sweeps up from the sea towards the mountains. There are two sort of basic areas, sub-regions. One is Ribera del Ebro and the other is Tarragona Campo. The Ribera del Ebro is a little bit further inland. The soil is a little bit stonier, calcareous. The climate is quite different in the two sections. Tarragona Campo is closer to the sea, so therefore the climate is more typically Mediterranean, warm summers and mild winters. If you go further inland to the other sub-region, that is protected from the mountains, and therefore there are greater temperature swings from the summer through the winter, and rainfall is quite limited in general. Tarragona served as a kind of workhorse region for other types of wine. Many of its white grapes went, and in some cases still go, to the cava producers a little further north, the classic blends that are used for that. This region is also traditionally a big co-op producing region. Co-ops tend to be quite pragmatic in their business sense, which meant in the past selling in bulk and ensuring your product had an outlet was priority. But in recent years, there has been an earnest effort to switch everything towards high quality winemaking, especially red wine and some white wine. Garnacha is one of the region's biggest and most popular varieties, often blended with Carignana, and the region is starting to stand out for its young red wine. The region is getting its name out there, and definitely give these wines a try. And our last wine region is one called Terra Alta. The vineyards are primarily located further inland, into the foothills and the valleys. The name Terra Alta means highland in Catalan, highland, more than highland. There used to be an important road, a Roman road that connected the city of Saragossa to the coast, and it went into medieval times too. So that is thought to be one of the reasons why winemaking was established in that area. Today it's a bit of an isolated area, and for a while winemakers didn't see as much future in this region, and they start to pull the vines and plant olive trees. And of course you had your share of that fortified wine that I was telling you about from the other regions. But things are beginning to turn around. Now, until relatively recently, the region's wines were basically destined for local consumption. And if not that, sold abroad in bulk. But the success of regions like Burrato and even Monsanto has encouraged these other smaller regions like Terra Alta to give some second thought to low-key ambitions, and there are numerous wineries that are starting to make a difference. Wineries like Herencia, for example. And the climate in this area is sort of a mix between Mediterranean and continental. Long hot summers, very cold winters, not a lot of precipitation. The region produces a wide range of wines from grape varieties like Garnacha Blanca or Chardonnay, Moscatel, Macabeo for white wines, and then the traditional Garnacha or Carignana or Tempranillo for the reds. So you get your share of white, rosé, and red wines, some aged wines like Crianzas, and then you have the traditional oxidized vinos rancios, the fortified wines, and even some sweet wines. So there's a little bit of everything there. Terra Alta wines aren't household names for wine lovers, but they have managed to make a name for themselves little by little to a certain extent. And I would definitely give them a try if I were you. The ones I've tried over the years have been very easy to enjoy and haven't really disappointed. And anyway, that'll be all for this episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, the story of Spain's wine revolution. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to send us comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers or salud, as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.